In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'd like to speak with you tonight about a sin maybe most of us, if not all of us, fall in it. And some people give in and they say, I cannot control this sin anymore. This is my nature and you need to accept me as I am. And through the grace of God, we will see how can we overcome this sin in our life. I'd like to speak about the sin of anger. Anger. And the first point that I'd like to address, whether is anger sin or not? Because we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, St. Paul quotes one of the Psalms and says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin. And many times we read in the Holy Scripture about the anger of God. And if anger is sin, I cannot say the anger of God. Because God does not sin and is not tempted by sin. In our prayers in the Divine Liturgy, we say, take away your anger from us. We can conclude that anger in itself is not a sin. Anger is like energy. It's energy. And like any energy, it can be destructive or can be constructive. It depends how I manage this energy. Any uncontrolled energy can be destructive. But if I control the energy and I manage it and I channel it in the way I want, it can be constructive. Unmanaged anger can lead to many sins. As we read in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. For example, if we have a meeting like this, and then there is angry man among us, and he starts to get angry and yell and scream at the meeting, definitely this will stir up strife. So an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. Furious man abounds in transgressions. His sins will be multiplied. As we read in the Bible, the anger of man does not meet the righteousness of God, or does not fulfill the righteousness of God. Also, we read in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 33, for as the churning, For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wrinkling the nose produces blood. When you squeeze milk, you produce butter or cheese. And if you squeeze your nose, it will bleed. In the same way, the forcing of wrath produces a strife. When I force my wrath on others, when I get angry at others, this like squeezing the nose and it will bleed, so it will produce strife between people. Who was the first angry person? The first angry person was Cain. After the fall of Adam and Eve, God told them to offer animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. From where did we know this? Because we read in the book of Genesis that God made coats from the skin and covered Adam and Eve. And there is a very nice simple here. God taught Adam and Eve to offer an animal sacrifice. Then he took the skin of the animal and made coats for Adam and Eve as a symbol that this sacrifice will cover their sin, will cover their nakedness from righteousness. And Adam and Eve taught their children, Abel and Cain, to offer animal sacrifices. Abel was a compliant person. He complied to the rule. And he followed the rule. And he offered animal sacrifice. But Cain, like most of us, he bent the rule. And he did not offer animal sacrifice. He offered a sacrifice from the plants of the field. And we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, that God did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? Because Cain did not obey the commandment of God. What was the reaction of Cain? We read in the Bible, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Cain couldn't accept that God did not respect his offering. And he became very angry. So the Lord appeared to him and tried to help him out. And he asked him a very important question. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? And when you get angry, you need to ask yourself the same question that God asked Cain. Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? I am sure Cain, in his answer to this question, he said, I am angry because you are biased to my brother. You love my brother more than I. You are making big deal out of nothing. What is wrong about offering sacrifice from the plants of the field? Isn't it better than nothing? Instead of encouraging me and telling me this is okay, this is good, that at least you offered something, and next time you need to offer animal sacrifice, you did not respect me at all. I am sure Cain was thinking this way. That's why he was very angry. And before blaming Cain, many times we fall into the same answer, the same pattern of answering this question. Let me give you examples. Parents tell their children that you need to be home at 10:30. And the children, they like to test the rules and to bend it. So they came home at 11. And the parents took some disciplinarian action with them because they did not follow the rule. Usually the children get very angry and say, "Why you are disciplining me? Is it a big deal that I returned home 11 instead of 10:30? Why you don't encourage me? I know my friends, they stay out until 2 or 3 in the morning. Why you are so rigid? And why? Instead of taking responsibility of their mistake, they usually try to blame others. Try to attack others. That's why they cannot get rid of their anger, because they don't take responsibility of their anger. The same can apply to the church and the service. If we disobeyed any rule in the church, and Abuna tells us, "No, you cannot do this because you have to comply with the system and the rule," usually we get angry and we say, "Why you are so rigid like this? Why don't you just understand my situation? Why? The problem of Cain, he blamed God for his anger. He did not take responsibility. If Cain was honest with himself, he would say to himself, "I am angry because I didn't like that God was disappointed with me breaking his rule," which means I am a rebellious person, which means I am not a compliant person. I want things to do to go my way. And if God said to me no, I am angry. This is actually the honest answer for this question: why are you angry? God was not biased to Abel. God loved Abel as he loved Cain. So the anger of Cain was because his rebellion. He wanted God to submit to Cain's rule instead of Cain submitting to God's rule. That's why the Lord told him, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" What does it mean, if you do well? It means you did something wrong, and that's why you are angry. But if you take responsibility of your anger, if you take responsibility of your action, and directed your anger, instead of directing your anger at me, direct your anger to correct your behavior, direct your anger to improve yourself, direct your anger to do well, then you will be accepted. And it will be over. But if you do not do well, what's going to happen? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. Because anger leads to sins. Anger leads to transgressions. Unmanaged anger, uncontrolled anger leads to many transgressions. Sin lies at the door. and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. You still have the power to rule over your anger and your sin. So you don't have excuse. You cannot say, I'm just angry person. I'm just nervous person. You need to accept me as I am. No, this is not an acceptable excuse. The Lord said to Cain, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. But unfortunately, Cain did not take responsibility of his behavior and his anger. And what happened? His anger led to what? Led to murder. He killed his brother. This was the sin that was lying at the door. And it captured Cain, although he had the power to overcome it. So, we need to take responsibility for our anger. We cannot blame anybody for our anger. If we blame others for our anger, we will never be able to overcome it. But we need to take full responsibility. What are the types of anger? We can differentiate at least between three types of anger. The first type, we call it wrath. Wrath. What's wrath? Wrath is the explosive anger. When you explode in your anger, you start to yell, scream, verbally abuse others, physically abuse others, hitting the doors, slamming the door, throwing objects in the air. That is wrath. Wrath is usually involved with violence, whether it is verbal violence or physical violence or emotional violence. One time, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching in the synagogue, and the people didn't like the preaching of the Lord. We read about this in Luke chapter 4, starting from verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. The people here were filled with wrath, with this explosive anger. And that's why they took the Lord to the brow of the hill, and they wanted to throw the Lord from the hill. But the Lord passed through them, and they couldn't hurt him. Wrath is this type of anger that can hurt others physically, verbally, emotionally, etc. The second type of anger is what we call bitterness. Bitterness, when you suppress your anger within yourself. Many people think if they suppress their anger and they did not explode, then they are fine. This is not a sin. Although they are boiling from inside, although they are very, very angry from inside, but as long as they controlled their anger and did not explode, they think it is fine. But no, the suppressed anger, which is bitterness, is also considered a sin. as we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31st, St. Paul said, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So, bitterness is also considered a sin. And bitterness leads to psychological and psychosomatic diseases. When I suppress my anger, with time, I become depressed, or I may develop ulcer, gastric ulcer, hypertension, diabetes, stroke, all these psychosomatic diseases. And with time, bitterness will change into what? Into wrath. After years of suppressing your anger, you will reach a limit that you cannot take it anymore. And then you will start to explode and your bitterness will change into wrath. The third type of anger is what we call indignation. Indignation. Indignation usually in the Bible refers to the holy zeal, the holy anger. Like when Moses descended from the mountain and he found the people worshipping idols, he became indignant and he broke the two tablets of commandments and he rebuked the people for forsaking God and worshipping the idol. This is what we call indignation or holy zeal or holy anger. The same happened when St. Paul entered Areopagus and Athens, and he found the whole city is full of idols. We read in the book of Acts that St. Paul became indignant within himself. The same happened with the Lord Jesus Christ when he found the people buying and selling in the temple. He became indignant and he told them, "Don't make my Father's house a house of merchandise. For my house is called a house of prayer for all nations, and you have made it a den of thieves." And he drove all those who were buying and selling outside the temple. This is what we call holy zeal and holy anger. But here I want to tell you, there is true indignation and false indignation. False indignation, many people, when they get angry, they try to explain their anger as a holy zeal. And I can give you an example about the false indignation from Matthew chapter 21, verse 15 and 16. On Hosanna Sunday, when the Lord entered Jerusalem, the children were greeting the Lord, shouting and crying, "Hosanna in the highest, this is the King of Israel, Hosanna son of David." But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the son of David," they were indignant. They became angry, but they described their anger as a holy zeal, indignation. But the Lord confronted them, and he told them, Do you hear what these are and said to him, they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? So he told them, don't be indignant. You are not zealous for the glory of God, but you are jealous of me. You are jealous because you wanted this greeting and this glory to be yours. But because the children are glorifying me and shouting for me, that's why you are jealous. So don't call your jealousy holy indignation or holy anger. How can we differentiate between the holy indignation or the true indignation and the false indignation? There are three things can help you to differentiate between the holy indignation and the false indignation. The first thing is the motive. The second thing is the process. The third thing is the goal. What do I mean? True indignation is motivated by love of God and zeal for the glory of God, for God's glory. But false indignation, if you are honest with yourself, it is motivated by your selfishness, by loving your own glory, by jealousy, not by the zeal of God. The process. In holy indignation, the person will not sin. He will not abuse others. He will not disrespect others. He will not put others down. But in false indignation, the person may sin in the process. He may abuse others, may hurt them, may explode at them. We didn't hear that the Lord or Moses or St. Paul hurt others. And the goal, the indignation, true indignation, its goal is repentance and transformation. But the goal of the false indignation is justification of myself, to justify my behavior. It's not for God. Again, it goes back to me. That's why if you're going to say about your anger, it is holy zeal or holy anger, you need to examine these three things. What is the motive? What is the process? And what is the goal? The motive should be for the glory of God. The process shouldn't include any sin. Be angry and do not sin. And the goal is repentance and transformation. So these are the three types of anger: bitterness, indignation, and wrath. And now we come to the most important question. How can I control my anger? If I am an angry person, how can I overcome this sin? How can I control and manage my anger so I can use this energy in a constructive way, not in a destructive way? I will give you 10 points to help you to control your anger. Number one, which I said it before, but this is the most important point in controlling your anger. Take responsibility for your anger. Don't blame others for your anger. Because if you blame others for your anger, you will never overcome the sin of anger. If you say, so and so made me angry, you will never overcome this sin. And here just I want to explain something, because I'm sure some of you are now thinking, but the reality is, others makes me angry. My children makes me angry. My friend makes me angry. My boss makes me angry. He gets on my nerves and makes me angry. And here just I want to tell you, anger is not a reaction to others' action, but anger is a reaction to your interpretation of others' action. Again, anger is not a reaction to others' action, but it is a reaction to your interpretation of others' action. Let me give you an example. If somebody right now enters the church and he cursed all of us, so here we have one action. This person cursed all of us. Are we going to have the same reaction? Definitely not. We will have different reaction to the same action. Why? Because we will interpret this action differently. Maybe one person will say, never mind, he's out of his mind, he's crazy, just don't pay attention to him. That's his interpretation. Another person will get angry and say, no, I'm not going to take this, that he is crazy, he's out of his mind. I should hold him responsible. I'm going to call the police for him. A third person may say, may just not going to think like this, but maybe just he start and hit him or drive him out of the church. A fourth person may say, the Bible teaches us, blessed are you when they persecute you and revile you and say every evil thing against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was reviled, he did not revile back, but he submitted the judgment to the just judge. So, what made the difference here in our reaction? It's not the action, but it is our interpretation of the action. That's why when we get angry, the anger is a reaction to how we interpret others' action. Saint Stephen, this angel deacon, angelic deacon, as we read in the book of Acts, they looked at his face and his face was like an angel. They falsely accused him and they started to stone him. But instead of getting angry at them, because they stoned him for nothing, he didn't do anything, we didn't find Saint Stephen getting angry. Instead, he was praying for them, and he asking God to not to consider this a sin for them. Why? Because Saint Stephen interpret their action differently. How he interprets their action. I'm sure St. Stephen thought about stoning him in this way. I want to go to heaven. And if I go to heaven as a martyr, I will have better resurrection, as St. Paul mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. So, when they stone me, actually, they are guaranteeing a place for me in heaven. And not just a regular place, but a place of a martyr. Actually, he got the place of the first martyr, not only a place of a martyr. That's why he said, they are not hurting me. In reality, they are doing me a favor, because they are preparing for me a crown in heaven. How can I consider this a sin? They are preparing a crown of martyrdom for me. That's why he said, God, do not consider this a sin for them. What made the difference here? It is his interpretation of their action. If he interprets their action as he is a victim, and this is injustice, and where is God, and why God left him, and this is unfair, and, believe me, he would be very angry. But he wasn't. That's why the first step in overcoming anger is to take responsibility of your anger. Don't blame it on others. As long as you blame it on others, you will never be able to overcome it. You need to confess it to yourself and to admit it to yourself and to take full responsibility before yourself. Then confess it to God. Then confess it to your confessor father. Taking responsibility is the most important step in overcoming anger. Number two, know the reason of your anger. Answer this question that God said to Cain. Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? You need to know the reason of your anger. There are many reasons for anger. Just I'm going to give you some examples. People can get angry because they are overstressed. Pressures around them from everywhere. And they don't know how to relax. They don't know how to enjoy what they are doing. That's why it is very easy for them to lose their temper and to get angry. Actually, if they learn it how to relax and to slow down, this will help them a lot in controlling their anger. Others get angry because of rigidity. They are so rigid in their life. And believe me, as long as you are in interaction with others, you need to learn how to be flexible and how to compromise. Definitely not the truth. But just there are many areas in our life we need to compromise. When I counsel families, I found families fighting for trivial things. For example, they fight over where we're going to spend our vacation, in here or there. And they have a big fight about it. If they learn it how to compromise and not to be rigid, they will not fight and they will not get angry about these things. So rigidity can be a cause of anger. If you are not flexible, you will find yourself getting angry very easy. Another reason for anger is control. People who like to control others, they get angry. And through anger, they will be able to control others. Because the people just want to avoid their anger. So they will do whatever they want, not out of respect, but just to avoid their anger, to avoid the conflict. So many people who get angry, the main reason is they love to control. And anger is a very good tool in controlling others. Another person can get angry because he doesn't know and he doesn't learn how to express his negative emotion. So when others hurt him or when others abuse him, he didn't know how to express this negative emotion. He didn't learn how to say, this hurts, stop it, I'm not going to accept this anymore. So he just gets angry because he doesn't know how to express his negative emotion in a Christian way. So there are many reasons behind anger. And if you want to control your anger, you need to be honest with yourself and to answer this question: why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? As in the case of Cain, Cain gets angry because he wanted to bend the rule and he wanted God just to submit to his way. And God, when he told him, no, I'm not going to accept this, he got angry. So know the reason of your anger and address it and take responsibility for it. Number three. St. James, in his letter, chapter 1 and verse 19, he said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So number three is, you need to learn how to slow your anger, how to slow your wrath. What does it mean to slow your anger? Think about it this way. If you are driving a car, and you see an object in front of you, if you didn't use your brakes, what's going to happen? You're going to hit the object. But you need to slow your car. And based on two things, if you have good brakes, and if you use the brakes in the right time, you will avoid the accident. You will not hit the object. But if you don't have good brakes, or if you are late in slowing your car, definitely you will hit the object. Wrath is like, I told you, it's energy. Anger is energy. When you see your anger is converting into wrath, you need to have brakes, spiritual brakes. Good spiritual breaks. And you need to have good timing to know when you should use the break to slow your anger. If you are late, you will hit others. You will hurt others. You will abuse others. You will explode at others if you are late. Or if you don't have good breaks, good spiritual exercises to help you to slow your anger, you will hit others. That's why you need to discover what are your breaks. Your breaks can be the sign of the cross. When just you feel the danger of wrath coming, when you feel that you are triggered to hurt somebody, here, with good timing and good breaks, maybe you will make the sign of the cross and say the Lord's Prayer. You can say one of the psalms that you know. Maybe you can say Jesus' prayer. Maybe you can remind yourself with the endurance of our Lord Jesus Christ and His perseverance. Maybe just leave the place, leave the room, go out until you calm down. But you need to slow your anger. You need to slow your anger. And in slowing your anger, you need to know the timing. What is the first indication of the trigger to hurt somebody? And also how to slow it. And what's working for you. Maybe what's working for you does not work for others. But you need to know what are your breaks. Prayer, Bible, verses from the Bible, one of the Psalms, intercession of one of the saints. All these things can help you to slow your anger. Slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Number four, you need to change your mind. What do I mean? Or to renew your mind. Or to think differently. St. Paul in Romans chapter 12 said, be transformed, be changed by the renewal of the mind. What does mean the renewal of mind? Repentance in Greek means metanoia. And the word metanoia actually is a composition of two words, meta and noia. Meta means to change. Noia from the word nous, which means mind. So metanoia means changing the mind, renewal of the mind. So the repentance in reality is changing or renewal of mind. That's why St. Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the metanoia. As I told you, anger is not a reaction to others' action. But anger is a reaction to your interpretation. So if you renewed your mind, if you trained yourself to look from another frame, to look from another window to others' action, then you will not be angry. A sinner, a sinful woman, entered into the house of Simon, one of the Pharisees. And here we have Simon and the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them perceived this woman, but from a different frame of mind. Simeon looked at her. She is a sinner. How she touched this man? If he is a prophet, he would know what manner of woman she is. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked at her from a different frame of mind. He looked at her as a repentant woman. She loved more. That's why she is coming to confess her sins and to wash the feet of the Lord with her tears. It is the same action. It is the same person. But what's different here? It is the frame of mind. The interpretation of the action. That's why Simeon was very angry. Was very angry at the woman and at the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not angry at her. You need to train yourself how to think differently. How to look to people from another frame of mind. And here I want to tell you that anger will not solve your problem. Anger will complicate your problem. For example, if a couple having disagreement over their budget, if they get angry at each other, and if they put each other down, now they have two problems. One problem is their budget, and the other problem that they hurt each other. So anger here didn't help the situation. It made it worse. Anger makes you irrational, makes you unreasonable, makes you illogical. So control your anger. And believe me, any decision you make while you are angry is wrong decision. Because this decision is not based on your logic or on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but just it based on your anger and your nervousness. So train yourself how to think in a Christian way from a different frame of mind, in a logical way, in a practical way. Number five, learn how to deal with the problem instead of getting angry at the problem. I remember when we were in high school, we studied a story about a young woman. Her name, this is a real story. Her name is Helen Keller. And she was blind, deaf, and mute. And we know that most of people who have disability, they feel they are stuck in their problem. And that's why they become angry and maybe hateful to others. But Helen Keller, instead of feeling stuck in her problem and there is no way out, she started to accept the problem and to think how to deal with it, how to deal with her deafness, how to deal with her blindness. And she was able to challenge her disability. And she was able to speak and to communicate with others. This was like a miracle. Why? Because she did not limit herself in one solution. And that's why she didn't feel stuck. Many times we feel stuck and we feel so frustrated because we limit our thinking in one solution. And if this solution is not it, then I am done with it. That's why we become furious. But if we start to accept the situation, instead of getting angry at it, and think about alternatives and how we deal with it, believe me, you will find infinite ways to deal with it. But when you feel stuck with a problem, most probably you are stuck because you are focused on one solution only. As they say in counseling, many people go to counseling not to get help, but to get permission to remain stuck in their problems. This is true about many of us. We just like to sympathize with ourselves and to feel sorry for ourselves that we are stuck in this problem and there is no way out. But if you start to think and ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to accept your situation, believe me, you will be like Helen Keller, find many alternatives to your situation. Number six. As I told you, many people did not learn how to express their negative emotion. Maybe most of us, when we are hurt or we experience negative emotion, we have only two ways, either to explode or to suppress it. But as I told you, both are wrong. Exploding is wrong, it's wrath. Suppressing it is wrong, it's bitterness. Is there a third way? Yes, there is a third way. There's what we call, you need to express your anger. You need to express your emotions, your negative emotions, in a Christian way. What does it mean? How to express your emotions, your negative emotions, in a Christian way? The answer, we will find it in the story of David and Saul. I know that both of them were before Christianity, but David actually, he used a Christian way, although he was before Christ. As you know, Saul was hunting David's soul. He wanted to kill him. And David one time was hiding in a cave. And Saul came to the cave not knowing that David is inside. And he slept in the cave. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 4. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. But I'm sure his men laughed at him. "What are you doing? Just you are cutting corner of his robe? We expect to kill him. This is the man that's hunting your soul. He wants to kill you. Just you are cutting the corner of his robe." But actually, now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Even cutting the robe of the king hurt him. You know why? Made him troubled. You know why? And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." Here he is addressing Saul in his absence, not in his presence. "My master, the Lord's anointed." Maybe if he said it in his presence, we say he is afraid. But no. David has had the utmost respect to King Saul, who wanted to kill him. Why? Because Saul was the Lord's anointed. And here just I want to make a point, a side point. How do we respect the Lord's anointed? How do we respect our father, the priest, and the clergy, the Lord's anointed, regardless of their action, regardless of their behavior? Here Saul wanted to kill David, but David did not lose his respect for King Saul because he is the Lord's anointed. "God forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, and here I want you to pay attention with me, because David expressed his anger. Definitely David was disappointed at Saul's behavior. But how he expressed his anger? He expressed his anger, number one, without losing respect to King Saul. Number two, being objective. He just mentioned the behavior and the actions of King Saul. He didn't describe him. He didn't call him name. He didn't describe his personality. He just mentioned his action. Number three, he set boundaries. What he will do and what he will not do. So David was able to express his anger without yelling, without screaming, without putting King Saul down. What did he say? He started by saying, "My Lord the King, my Lord the King." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your heart'?" Here he's being objective. He told him about his action. Why do you listen to men who are telling you that David wants your heart? "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father,'" see how he's addressing him, "my master, my Lord, the king, my father. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see, the corner of your robe is in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it." Again, he being very objective, he mentioned another action. "You are hunting my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me." Now he's appealing to God. "Let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." Why? As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. So if I kill you, I'll become wicked, because wickedness proceeds from the wicked. "But my hand shall not be against you." Then the third confrontation. He told him that you have insecurity, because who am I to you? I am just like a dead dog, a flea. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Why are you scared from me? Again, he is confronting him with action. He is scared from him. "Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." Here, David did not explode. And also David did not suppress his anger, but he expressed his anger very strongly, but without losing respect, without putting King Saul down. He just confronted him with his action and with his behavior. And what was the result? If David exploded, I'm sure King Saul would kill him. But because he just expressed his anger, what was the result? Then Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this way." When we confront others in a Christian way, we will lead them to repentance, and we can stop their abusive behavior, and we can stop their anger, as David did. But we need to train ourselves, because, as I said to you, many of us did not learn how to express their negative emotion. Because in their houses, while they were children, they saw their parents, if they have negative emotion, they explode, they yell, they scream. So this is a learned behavior. We learned it from our parents that when I have a negative emotion, I explode, I yell, I scream, I curse, and. But we need to learn how to express our negative emotion. Number 7, maybe you need just to change the place temporarily. If the atmosphere is getting so tense, it is not good just to remain in this situation. Maybe you need just to leave for 15 minutes, half an hour, until you calm down and others calm down, and then you return back and discuss the situation. So, if there is a situation getting so tense, before actually it gets so tense, it's better just to leave until you calm down, rethink reorder your thoughts, make a Christian, practical, logical plan how to deal with the situation, and then return back. Number 8, as the Lord said to Cain, there is a sin lies at the door, its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. We have the old man and the new man. The old man was buried in the waters of baptism, but many of us, they revive the old man. Actually, we want to put to death the old man and to bring to life the new man that's created in the image and likeness of Christ. And this new man has characteristics and qualities that help me to overcome the anger. As we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We need these three qualities. We need to learn. These are the qualities of the new man. Tender heartedness, kindness, and forgiveness. Believe me, if we have these three qualities, as St. Paul mentioned to us, we'll be able to overcome anger. I didn't see a kind person or a tender-hearted person getting angry at others. We get angry at others because we don't forgive them. But if we forgive them, we'll not get angry at them. So be kind, be tender-hearted, and learn how to forgive one another. Number 9, as I told you, anger can be a result of being overstressed. You need to take care of your spiritual health, physical health, and psychological health. Physical health, you need to get enough rest, sleep well, eat well, work out. All these things will help you to relax and to control your anger. Your physical health, your psychological health, you need to learn how to entertain yourself in a godly way. To relax, to laugh, and have godly humor in your life. These things will help you to deal with the stressors and the pressures of our daily life. And take care of spiritual health through spiritual exercises, repentance and confession, having a spiritual support system from the cloud of witnesses that's surrounding us, and from our godly friends. All these things will help you to overcome your anger. Number 10, if these 9 points couldn't help you to overcome your anger, maybe you need to seek professional help. Maybe you need to seek Christian counseling. I personally know some people who, after they attended some anger management classes and went for professional help, they were able to overcome their anger. But I want to tell you, anger can prevent you. Uncontrolled anger can prevent you from inheriting the kingdom of God, as St. Paul said. Because God will not allow somebody to explode in the paradise of joy at St. Mary or St. George or St. God will not allow this to happen. So you need to control it here on earth before going to heaven. May God help all of us to control our anger, as St. James said, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.